Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Spirit, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. So here in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul continues the discussion that he began in chapter 1. And that is that God doesn't work like people do in conquering. Remember in Revelation, that rider on the white horse is sent forth conquering and to conquer. And he has a sword, but it's not a sword that he wields in his hand. It is a sword that proceeds from his mouth. How does our Lord Jesus Christ expand his kingdom and conquer his enemies? He does so with his word. Now, sometimes that word is a word of judgment. Sometimes that word is a word of gospel healing, of drawing men to himself. So Paul, in this first chapter, as we heard last week, talks about how that God works like no man works. How does a king expand his kingdom in the world? Well, he does so at the point of a sword, or we might say at the barrel of a rifle today, or at the barrel of a cannon, or perhaps even at the controls of an airplane. That's how a king or a country expands its authority, how it expands its hegemony, how it expands its territory. But how does God expand His? How does Christ build His kingdom? It's not at the point of a sword. It's by the sword that comes forth from His mouth, by the preaching of His word, by the proclamation of that word of God. All right, so then we might be tempted to ask, as some no doubt were, well, if that's it, then does the word have an efficacy all of its own? That's the question, isn't it? Is the sword wielded enough? And the answer to that question in chapter 2 is no, it's not. While the Bible is set as central to our understanding. And while the preaching of the word is indeed the power of God unto salvation, we must understand from chapter 2 that the word does not work as if itself was sacramental by itself. It doesn't do that. It's not simply at hearing the words of the word of God bouncing on your eardrums that you're saved, that you have understanding, that you have insight, spiritual acumen into what God's word says. What Paul tells us here very clearly is that we must pray. We must pray not only for the preaching of the word of God, because that is the power of God unto salvation, but we must pray, as we do here often, that the Lord would be pleased to send his spirit with the preaching of the word, that our hearts would be open. Otherwise, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Now, there are in this chapter also a couple of other things that Paul mentions. Because if that's all we want is to have the word go forth, well, man's wisdom could go forth and perhaps gain many more converts. If you would compare some of the very large churches today that have lots of people there, we're not criticizing largeness necessarily. But many times what we find is the attraction is not really the Word of God and not really the Spirit of God working through the means of grace. What we find is that it's some other fleshly wisdom, some other kind of man's wisdom that's drawing them in and keeping them in. Notice what the apostle says here. It's not according to the enticing words of man's wisdom. Later on in his second letter, he'll say, we're not like some who handle the Word of God deceitfully. We don't set it out there, twisting the message, tailor-making it to advance the numbers or advance the popularity. Paul says we're preaching in the sight of God, and it is God who gives the increase. In the next chapter, Lord willing, we'll cover that this afternoon. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And so what we have here is means belong to us and efficacy belongs to God. Over and over again, we see that in Scripture. What are the means that God has given us? Word, sacraments, prayer, and praise. And yet in word, sacraments, prayer, and praise, we must understand all those must be foundation or must be founded upon, their foundation must be the Word of God. The way we administer the sacraments, the way we praise God, the way we read Scripture, the way we preach the Word, the way we pray, all of those, if they're not informed by Scripture, if they're not informed by what God has put into our hands to use, His holy word, then what have we done? We've allowed the enticing means and words of man's wisdom to thrust out the word of God. We can't do them both at the same time. We can't have the enticing words of man's wisdom on the one hand and have the Bible at the same time. One will always push out the other. We pray that more and more the Lord would strengthen us, reform us, and instruct us, draw us, solicit from us those things that draw up or build up upon His Word. So, Paul says then, it's not according to the enticing words of man's wisdom. I was with you in weakness and in power. There was nothing in my person, Paul says, that would attract you. I didn't come in, 6'2" like King Saul or 7 foot tall like King Saul. Surely he must be the king. I was with you in weakness and in power. The only power you saw when I was with you, Paul says, was the power in the preaching of God's word. That's the point. That's what we want to see. And so I know it's difficult for us. We all struggle with this. We want to look at the man, the preacher. I feel sorry for you having to look at this one. The point that we're making is it's not there. It's in the power of God. And we listen for the voice of the shepherd in what is preached, what is read, and what is sung, that we may hear him. And hearing him, we follow wherever it is that he leads. Thus ends the reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 2.